Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Drifts back, looks up, it's gone! A Texas blast for Bobby Witt Jr. His first one at Globe Life Field.
In the pitch, fastball hit high in the air, deep to right field. Garcia shuffles back, still going, at the fence, it's gone! Into the second row, an opposite field, two-run shot for Salvador Perez. There's the...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Crooked number, a three-run top of the first inning for the Royals. Two, thanks to one swing from El Capitan.
Sounds like the team meeting worked. I'm sold. The Royals are back, and they're on the right track. So they're good. Everything's fine. We're relaxed. Okay, all right, let's move on. Royals
are
here.
Let's move on, baby. Let's move on and talk about some Royals baseball last night. See what happens when your stars perform, Bobby and Salvi? That's what you need. Your stars perform, you win games. It's pretty simple.
No doubt. Great game last night for the Royals. Seth Lugo shoved, 9 strikeouts, season high. Bobby Witt Jr., a double and a home run. Like Vern said, when we had him on Monday, he's like, hey, you know what? Bobby Witt Jr. went to Texas last year, and then he started that huge July run that he had where he went full MVP mode. Went there a couple years ago, started to get hot again when he went to Texas, hit a foul ball to his father. I don't know if you ever saw that video, Mac, but he hit a foul ball. His dad's in the crowd, randomly in a seat, right to him.
That's amazing.
One of the craziest things you've ever seen in your life. And, yeah, last night, good game for the Royals. It's one of a lot more that need to happen like that. I am facetious when I say they are so back, but they looked like the team that should be performing last night. Lots of positives, a few negatives. But more positive negatives. That's what you want. And you had a great performance. Your starter was a quality start. Bobby Witt Jr., Salvador Perez, like Vern, like you've said, that's what's got to happen. Your stars have got to be stars, and your team will follow as suit. And then, you know, locked it up, didn't blow away the lead, got out of there, and now you go back tonight, and I believe it's either, I think it's Bubich tonight.
It was a nice win, though. Either way you look at it, you win 6-1 over any team in Major League Baseball. That's a big-time win, and it was necessary for Bobby Witt and Salvador Perez to get going, and Salvi in a big way last night with the two home runs. You know, I think that was a message to a lot of people for that said Salvi is done, that Salvi's going, I'm not done yet, I'm still here, I'm going to start heating up. But Salvi's always been kind of an up-and-down type of guy. He'll ride that wave, then he'll be down, then he'll be up, then he'll be down. He's all over the place, and that's kind of been his career. But you know, everything trickles down when the top of your lineup isn't getting the job done. And the reason they won that game last night is two words: Bobby Witt. He came to play last night, and he dominated last night, and that's what you need last night. Those are the type of games that you need. And then it made it easier for Salvi, Vinny, but I mean any other ballpark, that's a home run as well. I mean, so you had some guys putting the bat on the ball and taking care of business, and it was fun to see last night. It was refreshing to see, relieving to see a little bit last night as well, that they, hey, you still got the opportunity to go out there and hit the baseball. Like, so let's go ahead and do it. And so all of that stuff about, you know, who should be fired, who should be here, all that kind of stuff. When your stars produce, you win games. And the same thing can be said about everybody around Major League Baseball. Again, you know, you start to look around about this game. Yankees lost again. Aaron Judge didn't do anything again. You know, when your stars don't produce, you don't win. And if your stars don't produce, then you're relying relying on guys that aren't stars to have to go out there and play better than what they truly are. And guys aren't capable of doing that. But last night, it worked to a charm. That's exactly how you scheduled this thing in spring training. Seth Lugo on the mound dominates. Bobby Witt, Salvador Perez dominate at the plate. And you go out there and you win a game. Like, that's how the script was supposed to look last night for the course of 162. And it was good to see that last. It was good to see them go out there and play free and clear and just go out and win a baseball game.
Yeah, the day off, I think, did a lot of help. Again, that's Jack Leiter. He's, you know, top prospect, not anymore. He's been, you know, in the league now a couple years, but yep. He's supposed to be a pretty damn good pitcher. His ERA was, you know, solid. But like I said yesterday, it's like a mirror image of what Seth Lugo's done this year. Lugo, the better pitcher last night, full control from the chute.
Dominated.
I mean, just absolutely just cooked Houston. In fact, I think the only run they got was some funky double that went over Vinny's head that, like, somehow, like, he didn't even know what happened. It was like the ball had legs and just like,
I'd never seen anything like that, man. And I've been watching baseball a long time. That thing, bing, right over his head like that.
Reminded me of when my grandma didn't cut the nerve out of the frog legs and put it in a frying pan. They went nuts in the kitchen. True story.
Oh, come on.
Dead serious.
All my life.
Blue Springs, Kings Ridge Drive. That's where the house was. She put frog legs in the frying pan. They're supposed to get all the nerves out. Shot right out of the pan. Didn't, like, you know, frog her throughout the house, but they shot out of the pan and, like, flopped. I was like, I'll get McDonald's if we can on the way home. 6-year-old Dusty. But yeah, that was, like, really the only way they got a run. They were dominated on both sides of the field when it comes to offense and defense. But that was a game that I think not just the Royals needed, but I think that was a game the fan base needed. Because the fan base, you know, a lot of people went out to those games to see Cags debut at home, which, by the way, it's rough right now for him.
They're real rough, yeah. But Major League Baseball's a hard sport, brother.
Right.
It is hard.
You know, Boston's number one prospect, they called him up, and he was hitting 0-6-3. And then he hit a home run, and we'll see where he goes. Nick Kurtz for Oakland. Now everybody wants to put him at the top because he's hit two pretty impactful home runs.
Yep.
He's gotten off to a slow start, but now has kind of taken off. And now all these prospects are starting to jump in the league at the same time. So you got the kid in Boston, you got the kid in Kansas City, you got the kids in Oakland, and everybody wants to compare each other right now. But that was a game last night. You could see it on his face where it was just like, I'm outmatched. I'm not seeing the ball right now. But again, 10 strikeouts and 57 plate appearances. That is a positive for Jack. He's not chasing, but he's also not producing the way that maybe they thought he would at this point. Again, only his 13th game of his MLB career. I'm not saying anything wrong, but maybe, you know, it's one of those days where it's like, hey, we're going to give you Tuesday off, or we're going to give you Wednesday off, and then Thursday's day game, you can get back in there, but just take a little pressure off. You don't need to hit the 700-foot home run. Because I did see a lot of that on Twitter where it was like, once Jack gets one out, it's going to be like, all right, because I think he's starting to feel that I need to hit a home run. I need to hit some sort of big hit, and I think that weighs on you. And then last night, you didn't necessarily need him because everybody was doing their job as well. So when those guys do what they're supposed to do, which is your starting pitching, which was looked just like Lugo last year, Bobby Witt Jr. looked like Bobby, that is Bobby, and Sal Perez said, George Brett, I am now the captain.
Yeah, that is great. He tied George Brett, or the entire pass. He passed George Brett. With multi-homer games last night. And you know,
his 18th, George had 17.
17, right? Yeah. And I think one of the things that we're starting to realize and starting to understand is that Salvador Perez is the second greatest baseball player in Royals history. And I don't think there's any more debate on that one. And he's done an unbelievable job in his entire career, and it still continues to do it. Because without Salvi last night, do they win the game? Yes, because Bobby Witt had the big hit early and they scored 3 early runs. You know, on that one, and they didn't give up anything, but Salvador Perez is still going to be an impact and still needs to be an impact player for this team in order for them to get back to the postseason this year. And so as long as Salvi continues to hit the way that he hit last night and continues to have successes, he's going to be in that lineup every single day. And I know it's quick to, you know, send everybody to the, you know, Salvi's washed side of things, but Salvi proved last night that he is not washed. Salvi proved last night how valuable he still is to this ball club, and Salvi again proved last night he is the second best player in Kansas City Royals history. And the Jack Caglione thing, 2 strikeouts last night, you know, in that game, I don't mind giving him a day off at all today. I'm all for giving him a day off and realizing and letting him know that, hey, it's okay, man. Everybody deserves a day off. Everybody deserves a break. Get your head right a little bit. Take a deep breath and get back after this thing, you know, on Thursday. Or if you want to give him Thursday off, the day game, whatever it is. But I think it's getting to that point now where you kind of need to give him a day off and take that pressure off him and make him realize that he does not have to be that guy delivering home runs and all that stuff. Just go up there and, you know, do what you did. But we're also getting a lesson in how big that jump is from AA to AAA to the major leagues. It is a ginormous jump for a lot of people. For most people, it is a ginormous jump. And Jack's dealing with that, and probably the first time dealing with that failure. And that's what they always like to see at the big league level. How do these guys who have never failed before in their entire lives deal with failure? And we'll see how Jack Caglione deals with not having the successes that I think everybody wanted him, obviously, to have when he came up to the big league level. But I still don't believe that that changes that they shouldn't have brought him up. They still should have made the move to bring him up. It's time. And as you mentioned, all these guys all over Major League Baseball, these young players, it's becoming a young player's game now with the limited minor league teams that are around. And I like that for Major League Baseball. I'd rather see Jack Caglione up here trying to figure things out than dominate some, you know, some retread down in AAA and hit 400. Everybody thinks everything's great. Get up here, fail, figure it out, fail, figure it out, fail, and continue to move your major league career forward.
Yeah, somebody says on the text line, Dusty had Monday off. Keep playing him. It's a different day off.
It's a different day
off. It's more of like, hey, he's going to sit down next to, you know, whoever, and, you know, might be a veteran. Like, let's say Mark Canna doesn't play, and Mark Canna's like, hey, kid, so here's the situation. Right. Like, here's what you would, what I would look for. Do you have anything like that? Or stand on the railing. Yeah, you get the day off from the whole sport of baseball, but sometimes you just need a day to sit back, listen to some people, and watch the game. And then you go out there Thursday, 3-for-4, the home run, the wheels start turning. You have a comment in the rundown that says something about neighborhood guy, neighborhood douche.
Yeah, as we talked about yesterday with our friend Roy Mahoney and his neighborhood. So the word has made it out there. It's out there. And a lot of people have been coming up to Roy in the neighborhood and talking about this name. Apparently, this neighbor is a habitual text everybody else in the neighborhood type of guy.
Gosh.
And so, if you're that guy in the neighborhood where you're policing everybody else in the neighborhood, you suck. And so,
well, it sounds like he needs to leave.
Exactly.
If everybody is
exactly
cool with everybody, but one guy is not cool with everybody else, sounds like maybe you don't belong there.
Right. like you got to move out, man. It's time for you to go. And so we were talking to Roy last night, and I said, what's going on with the neighborhood? And he was saying more and more people are coming up to him going, yeah, this guy's got a problem with everybody. Who are these people? He goes, you've seen Christmas Vacation, right? And I said, yes, I've seen Christmas Vacation. And it's Todd from next door at Christmas Vacation, okay? Yeah. That's who that is. It's the guy married to Julia Louis-Dreyfus, right? And so that's who the neighbor is, that guy who, I guess, no kids, is like, you know, uppity and all this kind of stuff.
And Roy Mahoney's the guy they're saying the blank's full.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's exactly right. Yeah.
I don't know whose side I'm on now. Yeah. Like, I don't know if I want but Randy Quaid next to me dumping sewage.
The whole neighborhood apparently is Randy Quaid doing all this kind of stuff. And this guy's Todd and Margo next door complaining about everything. And so people are fed up in the entire neighborhood. But I think that's the conclusion that I had. If it's bothering you that much with the whole neighborhood, maybe you should go.
Yeah,
maybe
here.
Go get a place down in Tulite where you don't have to worry about your neighbor's garage, okay?
Mm. Coming up on the other side, J.J. Piccolo put somebody in a body bag yesterday, and Alex Gold did the right thing and asked him the right question. We will play that cut and discuss on buy or sell here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
What's up, Kansas City? This is Jonathan India here, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Salvador Perez, his second of the night, his third extra base hit of the night, his fourth RBI of the night, and the Royals lead it 5-1.
And that would probably be why he wears a C on his chest. Salvador Perez, tired of losing, got the day off, came out absolutely fired away. What was it, like a double, a homer, just absolutely an offensive showing last night for Salvador Perez, Bobby Witt Jr. as well. And we'll keep track. We'll see how long that players-only meeting actually affected this team. The last time they had one with Raul Ibanez, it was about 2 weeks after, and they started rolling, and they never looked back after that 14-15 season when they went to the World Series, then won a World Series. This one happened last week after the Saturday night loss against the Sacramento Athletics. Then all of a sudden they get swept, and then they go on the road and they have a day off. And last night they looked like a team of old. And this was J.J. Boccolo yesterday, who joined Gold and Binkley at about 10:30 yesterday, because there was a report that we will get to. His response was classic, but this was J.J. on the players only meeting.
You know, they're obviously feeling some pressure right now. Obviously we're not playing as well as we're capable of playing. And, you know, the coaches do as much as they can day to day. And one of the things we try to maintain is consistency in our practices, in our routines. So the coaches are always doing their part. But it means a lot more when somebody like Salvi or Bobby or Vinny, whoever, you know, was the lead voice in that, it means a lot more when it's coming from the players because they're holding themselves accountable. And I thought it was a very positive sign.
So that was the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, J.J. Boccolo, on what the players only meeting can do. Basically kind of just says what we all think should happen. Like, let your leaders talk and then let your leaders lead.
Yeah, and the leaders led yesterday. And that's what it's all about in baseball. That's what it's all about in professional sports. Go out there and make your players that get paid the most money, that are your stars, lead your team. And if they're not leading your team, well, the guy who's making $750,000 isn't going to lead your team. Like, if Bobby Witt and Salvi aren't doing it, Drew Waters ain't picking up the slack. Mikel Garcia, as much as we like him, ain't picking up the slack. Kyle Isbell ain't picking up the slack for when your star players aren't producing. And when your star players produce, you win, you have success, and everything looks great.
Mm-hmm. And for those of you that were listening yesterday, we were, I don't know, coming off the air about when this tweet came out. And I thought it was interesting because it said, I'm trying to think where the tweet was, but Alex has it. The guy actually listened to Alex's interview yesterday that made the tweet. But this was JJ's response to a tweet that said ownership has asked JJ to what, sell,
consider.
It's like selling. I'm trying to find the tweet because it was hilarious.
I got it because there's people out there that are making it about themselves. So let me
pull really?
This. Yes, for former PR people. I'm hearing Royals ownership has told JJ Boccolo to start thinking about trading some veteran talent.
Mm-hmm.
With that in mind, I certainly hope that Seth Lugo is on the Mets' radar. Now, first of all, a real reporter doesn't hope things for the team that they cover. I'm just going to put that out there right now. A real reporter doesn't hope that teams go out and make trades for some team that they're covering.
Yeah. So then this was JJ's response.
Unequivocally false. That is as false as can be. And, you know, the accountability of that writer should be in question.
Yeah, it's a great answer by JJ. It really is.
And then Sam Mellinger, the vice president of communication for the Kansas City Royals, responded to the tweet that the guy said and said, what was it here? He says, this is non-true. 0%. Please kindly stop making things up.
Yeah, exactly. Great tweet by Sam, right? Yeah, and that's where, you know, that's where you just got kicked in the balls by the VP of PR. And I can tell
and
you.
And the GM
and
of the team.
And the GM of the team just kicked you in the balls. You need to you need to retract that. And I can tell you, look, I did. This was one yesterday where, like, I don't call people a lot, you know, and bother these guys a lot. But yesterday was one of those where, like, all right, I need to make some phone calls on this one. And I can tell you from everybody I talked to, both inside the organization and even with other organizations, people are pissed off about this. And they are really pissed off about this guy's report. And if anything, this report may be the thing that flips the switch for the Royals and turns things in the right direction, because there is downright anger at this guy. And I talked to somebody close to ownership yesterday, and what they're saying to me is, like, we're very supportive of everything that's going on right now with JJ and the team, and we don't feel like we should be sellers at this point. There's now 36 more games to go before the trade deadline. A lot can change during that time. And I talked to someone close to ownership who even called the report yesterday bull blank in a text to me. And, like, that's how pissed off guys are in the organization. I talked to people outside the Royals organization with other teams. They go, that's not true. That's not happening at all around baseball. So you have officials of other teams and people with the Royals both telling me how erroneous of a report that is. And those are the narratives that get out there. And because somebody puts that crap on Twitter, then fans in Kansas City start to believe that this is the case. And that's not the case at all. John Sherman has never been that owner to bail. And we can do a quick history lesson on John Sherman. When he came in, one of the first things he did in that first offseason is he told Dayton Moore, he said, please, here's money, go spend it so the fans understand that I am willing to spend money and I am not a cheapskate. I am not a skinflint. Mifflin. I am not David Glass. I am going to go out there and I am going to spend money. And they went and spent money, and it was the Carlos Santana year, and you got some guys that were available, but they showed that they were going to spend money. Then what does he do? He supports his entire organization during COVID and keeps people employed during COVID when many other teams, most teams, shut them down, didn't pay anybody. John Sherman kept everybody on payroll, paid the minor league players, paid the front office people. John Sherman's investing $1 billion wherever it may be to build a new stadium. John Sherman signed Bobby Witt. John Sherman signed Cole Reagans. John Sherman signed Seth Lugo. John Sherman signed. Like, what in John Sherman's MO would give anybody the impression that he's bailing on a season right now when they're 3 games below 500 and they've invested a lot into this? You don't do that when you're the owner of a franchise, and John Sherman's not that type of guy. And so that asshat who was putting that kind of stuff out there is wrong, and he's pissed off a lot of people, and this may be the springboard that this organization needs to double bird whoever the hell that loser was making up fake reports about their team. It's game on here in Kansas City, because I can tell you what, the conversations yesterday that I had with people were heated, and they were pissed, and they were upset about it. I can't imagine what the players and the rest of the organization is feeling right now.
No doubt. Yeah, that's why it's tough when you get people out there, because, you know, this guy, his name was Mark Healy. I guess we in a world judge, like, how many followers, what your, you know, status is. 9,700 followers, editor in chief at the Rockaway Wave. Anybody ever heard of that?
No.
Okay. Writer at Sirius XM Fantasy Host and Baseball Digest.
Right.
So.
But I think you're forgetting one key thing.
Mets
here,
fan.
Dusty. But no, past AP writer.
Founder and author, yeah. Past. Yeah,
right.
Past AP writer. So, there, you know, whatever it may be.
He's the editor-in-chief of some fake publication that we never heard of. Used to work for the Associated Press and is creating rumors out there about the Royals.
Yeah, and he kind of got into it back and forth. Because after Sam Ellinger says, "Kindly stop making things up." I don't make things up, Sam. I appreciate how quickly you and JJ responded to the report. Mellinger responds with, LOL, period. Zero truth to it, and you know it.
Yeah.
So the guy, you know, standing his ground, doing everything he can. He's talking like who he's asking, who he's talking to, all these sort of things. The guy doesn't know what he's talking about. The guy doesn't know what he's doing. He's hoping that the Mets go out and get somebody because he's from New York, lives in New York, and wants the Mets to go to the World Series. And where he looks at is Seth Lugo, and he makes up a false claim.
Right.
Because the Royals aren't sellers. 2.5 games out of the wild card. A lot of teams in front of you. But again, like Bob said, there's 36 days until the trade deadline. You still have an entire All-Star break, and then a week after to make up your decision. You'll get Cole Reagans back during that period after the All-Star game, I believe, from what JJ said Sunday in his pregame show with Jake Eisenberg or Ryan Lefevre about how they want to hold on, you know, the shoulder, keep off. Take the time off, take the All-Star break off, get your mind right, get your shoulder right, and then we come back and make that push. Again, 2.5 out, and this was J.J. Piccolo on how he still has confidence in this team.
I do. I mean, we've known these guys for a lot of years. They've done a wonderful job. I mean, you know, two of the three that are in the trenches every day were with these guys going through the minor leagues. They've built relationships. They have trust in each other. Players have trust in them. They feel it just as much as the players do, and they want to, you know, wave the magic wand and try to figure out what each guy needs. But really, it's just staying positive right now, understanding the history between the coaches and the players, and the reminders. Nobody knows our current hitters as well as the guys in our batting cages every day. I mean, they live with them every day. They understand their swings. They understand what makes them tick. And now it's just a matter of trying to tweak some things here and there, but also stay positive. You know, you've got to stay positive through these tougher times. And I know we have the right guys that will stay positive, and they put the work in every day. You know, I can tell you this, today in Texas is not going to look any different than last year in Texas as far as the energy and the positivity and our processes. But now the challenge is a little bit greater because the confidence, you know, is wavering a little bit, but all it takes is one little good run offensively to get that confidence back and you just go play baseball.
Speak it into existence.
That's
JJ.
Exactly right, man. That's exactly right. And also stop making up fake reports, Mets fans. I mean, just stop making up fake reports about all that kind of stuff. But also speak it into existence. And it did go into existence last night. They played great baseball last night. And so now you gotta, you know, capitalize on that. And you don't let one game just go by the wayside. All right, we had a great game last night. How do we build on that? And that's where, you know, your starting pitching, which has been great for the last 2 years, basically, that's where they pick each other up. All right, Lugo went out and dealt last night. I'm going to go out and deal tonight. Then the next guy's going to go out and deal. And you kind of keep that train going in the lineup as well. Salvi got big hits. Bobby got big hits. Vinny was big last night. Could have been bigger if the ballpark was a couple feet smaller, you know? Like, that ball even would have been out of Yankee Stadium. That's 408 feet. That's 413 feet, the dead center field. That ball would have been out of Kauffman at that point. That's 410. That tells you how big that ballpark is. So that was the night that you needed last night for the Royals. They bounced back. They used that team meeting. The stars were stars, and they shut down an erroneous report. And sometimes it's fun when everybody has a common enemy to go after, right? Like this guy in New York right now, how that bonds everybody together. When everybody's got that common enemy, it bonds you all together. And I think this guy in Boston or in New York may be that common enemy who's talking smack on this team to try to get Seth Lugo on his.
What's even interesting more is that it wasn't really talking smack on the team. He's talking smack on the ownership.
Well, how does a guy in New York even have any idea of what's going on with ownership in Kansas City?
He doesn't.
Right.
He's got somebody somewhere around that's like a small spider within the walls that he's like, oh, I think if they're going to sell, they might sell Lugo. You know what? I'm going to run with that.
Right.
And then it's somewhat our fault, too.
Or hear how it goes is he's standing around a batting cage because you've been there, and reporters BS with each other, and somebody BS's with him, and somebody probably said, well, the Royals should really consider selling right now. They're no good, and they got Seth Lugo, and we can use him here. And he took that and thought maybe the Royals are considering selling. Whatever it is, they're not right now. And that's not the MO of John Sherman at this point in time. They're vying for the postseason. They're not looking to sell any of their players, again, at this point in time. If things can go south, then that changes in 36 days. Like, life changes on a dime all the time. Things you say on Tuesday may not be true on Wednesday if certain things happen and certain circumstances change, and that could all change. But as of right now, that's just false. They're not trading anybody.
It's also partially our fault, too, for, you know, running with a report that, you know, oh, this is interesting. Why don't you let, you know, JJ strike it first and then you go after him. But, you know, that came out and, you know, we read it and then JJ joined Alex and Pink 30 minutes later and then the guy was irrelevant. But guys that do know what they're talking about and a guy who knows what he's talking about, Josh Vernier, who joined us Monday, I wanted to play this audio for you because he had this to say about Bobby Witt Jr. getting things going in Texas.
But the Royals going back to Arlington, it's always a pivot point in the season, sadly, for Bobby Witt Jr. His big league, his first season in the show, he got off to a tough start. He goes to Arlington. He's driving past the ballpark he went to as a kid, and it reminded him of how lucky he was, and Bobby took off after that. Second season, something similar happened. Last year, he didn't need it because he was the MVP, and, well, it looks like Bobby needs it again. Maybe getting back in Arlington, being back around not just the family, but you know, being back home, maybe getting that reminder of, you know, you're still something else, man. I mean, for as disappointing as this season has been, you're still one of the top 10 players in Major League Baseball based off of WAR. So I expect when the Royals return to Kauffman Stadium to take on the Dodgers, I expect MVP Bobby Witt Jr. to be back, and hopefully he has a new teammate.
So there you go. We'll see about the new teammate. But,
that one there at the end. Huh? And hopefully he has a new teammate.
So we'll see what that happens there. But that is, you know, one of the, you know, better things to hear from Vern is to tell you, hey, this is a guy who follows the team for 162 for every single year. Arlington, or I guess it's more so like Dallas nowadays, is the place where Bobby goes to kind of get right, goes back home, gets that feel. Last night, Bobby looked like Bobby, and it was off to a great start, and the team followed suit.
Yeah, I mean, that sometimes that's what it takes, a little bit of home cooking, a little bit of familiar surroundings, see some people that are familiar in your life. Maybe you run into pops down there. Maybe it's mom. Maybe it's your sister. Maybe it's somebody who goes, hey, what are you doing, man? Stop pressing up there. Just go be you. And sometimes hearing it from your family helps a little bit, or just being comfortable and being in your surroundings. Maybe he saw his old high school coach or a buddy of his or somebody like that. Who knows what happens? But, you know, he always plays well down there. And we saw it in the All-Star game last year. And look, we saw it again last night. And last night was very, very important to see Bobby Witt get the bat going.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun when it looks like that last night, because that was classic Royals there. I guess classic, that was from Royals of 2024. that we thought we'd see a lot more of in 2025, and maybe we will see more of it because this team is a team of streaks, man. They've had a winning streak that was massive. They had a losing streak that was massive, and maybe now they get back into the right things and get going. But it is a Wednesday.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
So we have our Fesco and Dusty poll that will go up on X. It'll be on the Fan 965. Dan Mears retired yesterday as the KC Wolf mascot. Dan Mears, does he belong in the Ring of Honor? I think all three of us say yes.
Hell yeah,
I think
does.
So.
Now, do you put him in as Dan Mears or do you put him in as KC Wolf 1 or something like that, you know?
I think you'd have to put him in as Dan Mears.
I think so, too.
And then when people that maybe aren't aware of who Dan Mears is and they look up in the Ring of Honor, like, Dan Mears, they say, oh, that was KC Wolf. All right, cool. Mm-hmm. Well, what's that story? Now you get it. Because I'm always big into, like, you search a name and then you find out, like, the origin of where it all started, right? Like, you look up Pearl Jam and you find out their original name was Mookie Blaylock.
Uh-huh.
And then you're like, well, I didn't know that. And then you go down this rabbit hole and you're like, oh, Mookie Blaylock, they originally were this name. Now they're Pearl Jam. Why'd they change their name? And then you look at, you know, the Ring of Honor. You're like, oh, I'm a young kid. Christian Okoye. Oh, did you know that? You know, like all this sort of stuff happened. So I think they should leave it as Dan Mears. And then I think they should put a little wolf like mascot face next to it.
Oh, I like that.
Instead
of
like the number where it says like Derek Thomas 58, it says Dan Mears and there's a wolf.
Yeah. Like him riding the ATV or something.
Yeah. Like if you could put
really would go down a rabbit hole.
Yeah. I mean, seriously.
They used to do this?
Yeah.
They used to spear people in Raiders shirts?
Hell yeah, they did.
But yeah, it was a, I don't know, bittersweet day yesterday because, you know, 35 years in the business as a mascot, you finally want to hang it up and, you know, kind of, you know, do your own thing in life. And, you know,
I mean,
what
how
guy.
Old can you really do that, too, being in that suit, doing all those stunts? Like, I mean, that is a young person's job, right? I mean, you don't want to be, you know, Jerry Anselmo and falling all over the Casey Wolf outfit, right? Like, you don't want that in your life. But, you know, Dan was great. And the reason I think Dan Mears belongs in the Ring of Honor, and I'm sure we're going to get pushback from people, he didn't play and all that kind of stuff. There was about 25 years where the Chiefs didn't play. And you went to those games and you saw KC Wolf and he entertained the hell out of you, you know.
Oh.
And he was phenomenal. He was awesome. Became one of the best mascots out there. Everybody loved. We talked about the ATV stuff that they used to do back in the day and how awesome that was. And him being under the goalpost when they kick a field goal or, you know, the opposition and he's doing all that kind of stuff
so
like
good.
The reactions of the fans and all of that and it also gives an opportunity to explain why there's a KC Wolf and the origins of all of that. And so I think it's awesome that Dan Mears goes into the Ring of Honor. I think it's important that he goes into the Ring of Honor because I think he is a very important person when it comes to the history of the Kansas City Chiefs and telling the story of this franchise and letting everybody know this was the first mascot that we had here. He's in the Mascot Hall of Fame. He had entertained us for all of these years when Tyler Palko was playing quarterback. Hmm. Everybody knows who KC Wolf is. Absolutely 100% Ring of Honor with him.
I think some of my favorite parts of KC Wolf were like the downtimes. Because anytime that, you know, another touchdown score, they would kick a field goal to take the lead. He would just faint, like, below the goalposts.
Yes.
And you're like, he's mascots can feel. But, like, I also, Mac brought this up because I remember when I was a kid, like, he came to our school. And that was really special because it was KC Wolf. And you're like, that's, you know, the first, you know, I understand I have a kid's mentality. But, I mean, even, like, seeing the teacher's face and reactions because, one, they didn't have to teach that day. They got to go to an assembly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was definitely cool because it was, I don't know, larger than life at the point in my life where I'm like, this is the mascot of the Chiefs. Like this was, you know, this was more than if like Mahomes were walking in the building at the time because I wasn't old enough to understand, but I knew what a mascot was and it was cool to me.
Well, and he was nice. He'd look you in the eye, came up to every kid, made you feel like you were an individual. Like he gave you the time of day with 100 other kids. He came and smiled at you, did the wolf thing, did a dance. I mean, that was like one of the best days of my middle school career.
I like how you said he gave you the eye contact. Those huge
eyes, right? Yeah. But I'm a little kid. I'm like, the wolf's looking at me.
But they weren't left and right. They were centered.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You could spin those things around. You know, like no, just a great mascot, great guy, and has done so much to bring joy to people in Kansas City. I mean, because you see him all the time, at you know whether he's going to the hospital to visit kids, schools to visit kids, birthday party, whatever the case may be, man, have party, have wolf, we'll hire, and Dan would be there and entertain people.
So again, you can go to our Fesco and Dusty poll question on the Fan 965. Does Dan Mears belong in the Ring of Honor? We unanimously, as a show, say yes. And we will talk to our guy who will be with Alex Gold next, Jay Binkley. We'll ask him the question, put him on the spot if Dan Mears belongs to be in the Ring of Honor. Mr. KC Mock Draft himself, Jay Binkley, joins us on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Whoever that bozo was doing the armpit fart thing, come on, man.
Catch Royals insider Josh Fournier every Monday at 8:20 right here on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
From the 816, Casey Wolf absolutely belongs in the Ring of Honor. Dan Mears is who we were saying, but yeah, he played. And they... Casey, as in like Casey Affleck. Casey Wolf was electric at school and beating up other mascots pregame at the 50-yard line was always epic as a kid. I always remember that. And the hip thrust. Those as well. But we will be joined by Jay Binkley in just a second here, I think. He's got a big show today, though. He's got 4 hours with Mr. Gold again.
He wanted to come in early this morning and be with us live. And I'm like, Jay, you don't have to come in live with us, man.
It's time for the College Football Report with Jay Binkley.
I'm still not sure I'm not Dusty's dad, but regardless.
On your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Binkley, I saw an ad on TV just now for $15.99, all you can eat at Applebee's, chicken strips, fried shrimp, or ribs. Which one do you go with?
Ooh, probably the ribs. Where are the Applebee's? Did they close a bunch of those? But now they're still like one of the top five, you know, chains in America, but I can't find any of them.
Binkley, you can come to my hometown right off of 7 Highway and I-70 right there in the corner. Oh, yeah, baby.
Smash.
I know they closed the one up here, but, you know.
Well, I mean, you're going to have to get out of the comeback, Northland.
Though. They did a lot of stuff in college football, and they did a lot of advertising, so props to them. They're in the top five.
Applebee's, look at you there, man. The Applebee's song at the halftime of the Cincinnati game still is a reason why I won't go, because it cost all of us the game. So, I mean, that guy singing and all the Johnson County moms dancing, that really threw everything into a loop that day, Jay.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to see that happen. They're all dancing out there. I wonder if Cody, I know he went down to Texas, for his daughter's dance competition. I thought Cody went down there to dance. So I thought maybe
it's dancing,
you know,
not singing.
Okay. I thought he was down there dancing and that's why they won last night. So.
Yeah. No.
Binkley, what surprised you, or not surprised you, what satisfied you the most in last night's game without saying the name Salvador Perez?
Well, I guess your dogs being dogs, you see him, Bobby Witt, getting things turned around, but attacking that pitcher. Leiter's only given up 6 home runs all year. 3 of those were last night. So it's a guy that doesn't really give up a lot of home runs, and they easily could have had 4. So that really stood out to me that, you know, the Royals were hitting him out of the park against a pitcher that doesn't give up home runs this year because he's been very good at it. But boom, the Royals all of a sudden have half his total just in one night.
Bink, before we get into the NFL and some of that stuff, there was a comment yesterday by a Vanderbilt football player that they're going to be better than Tennessee and all this kind of stuff, right? And we kind of laughed at that. But then you take a step back and you realize with the NIL, like the preconceived notions about teams and programs that we all had are going to change because there's going to be alumni that step up and make this NIL thing, you know, different than what we've been used to over these years. Are you prepared for a shift in college football where maybe some of the programs that haven't been good are, and maybe some of the programs that have been, some of the teams you think are good, aren't going to be as good anymore?
I think you have to sometimes because it's just how long they let these guys play. The quarterback that made those comments was Diego Pavia. They used to be at New Mexico State and various other places before he went to Tennessee. He's been playing forever, man. The dude even got an extra year to play this year because his lawsuit fought the old NCAA as far as can JUCO years count against your NCAA eligibility, and they said no. So you could play JUCO football and then turn around and play Division One, and it wouldn't count against you, where it used to be you play 2 years of JUCO, you just have 2 years of eligibility in the NCAA to play football. So he fought that. But, yeah, guys are staying on school so much longer. I mean, you're talking, you know, 24, 25-year-old guys now. So, yeah, it does change the landscape. I think Neil has completely changed how we look at teams. I think it really has for basketball, too. Mm-hmm. Basketball, football. But basketball, you put up 20 points a game in the MAC, you're playing in the Big 12 the next year.
Yeah, Binkley, let's shift over to the Kansas City Chiefs. Trey Smith was at minicamp yesterday. Could sign there, you'd think, right?
You know, I do think so, and the one thing about it is, I was telling Alex yesterday, it's just how, you know, how much respect there is between both the Chiefs and Trey Smith. I'll never forget when he was drafted in the sixth round. You know, Chiefs took a chance on him. You know, it was during COVID and all that, and they're doing their Zooms and the press conferences after they're drafted. He's got the Chiefs draft hat on. I always thought that was kind of different because sixth-round picks don't get team hats of all the different teams. But he got it because he was expected to go much earlier. But the Chiefs showed a lot of faith in him. He comes to Kansas City. He's done nothing but be in the Super Bowl. He's got two rings, went to another one. Like, the Chiefs stood up for that. And not only that, Bob will tell you how much he does in the community.
Yeah.
Like, how much he embraces Kansas City, going down to Mitch Holtz's event down in Smith Center and everything he does. So the fact that he was there, I thought it was no surprise at all. I thought it was a good sign. You see all these holdouts and hold-ins with any other team, and you get this, you know, kind of diversity between the team and the player, like what's going on with Trey Hendrickson in Cincinnati. And then, of course, their first-round pick, Shamar Stewart, who won't even practice, didn't sign his contract.
Not even in the city.
Well, yeah, he was showing up and he wasn't there. But I get that. He didn't have a contract and all that. But I knew this thing was going to be pretty smooth between Trey Smith and the Chiefs because there's so much respect between both. So, yeah, I wasn't worried about the Trey Smith deal at all. It was good to see him there. He was in the pads and had the elbow pads on and everything else. But it's kind of pro he is, man. This kid's a pro's pro, and he loves the city, and the Chiefs love him back.
Well, you don't show up to mandatory mini camp if you're not close to getting something done, right? And so
100%, you don't do it. That's right. A good sign.
Yeah.
That shows you the Chiefs' focus. When he shows up to that, that shows you where they're at. It also shows you up when Kelce, you know, was in France the day before, and boom, he shows up in the morning and ends up at minicamp.
Yeah.
You know, that it shows you their focus. And I know Lamar Jackson was out there saying, this is going to be a revenge season. We're going to take vengeance out on teams. You know, talking about Buffalo beating them last year in the playoffs and things like that. That's kind of the mindset of the Chiefs as well. And when you see that kind of situation with the Chiefs in minicamp, in your tight ends in France, and then ends up at your practice the next day, that shows commitment. Trey Smith shows commitment by being in Kansas City for the mandatory minicamp. They've got this culture now, man. You talk about that culture in sports. It's all like, you know, team meetings and players-only meetings are one thing, but actually building a culture where you hold everybody accountable and you're all going for the same goal. That's why this team wins all the time. This is why this team has seven straight AFC title games. This is why Mahomes is doing what he's doing in leading the Chiefs to the Super Bowl seemingly every year. It's their commitment, man. And it showed it yesterday with Trey Smith at that practice.
Well, and I think also, too, Jay, a lot of that is a bunch of, you know, talk until you actually do it. And the Chiefs are one of the few teams in professional sports that actually, like, did it. And when you were talking about, you know, like, revenge with Lamar Jackson and losing to Buffalo and all that kind of stuff, I'm thinking to myself, like, he can talk it all he wants. It's what everybody says in the offseason. They're going to get revenge. But when the Chiefs say it, they actually go out and do it. Like, they've got a track record of going out there and doing it. So when they talk about revenge, like, that's legit to me. That's not just some team that's never done it before bloviating, we're going to get revenge. Sure. The Chiefs like, no, we're going to get revenge. And we have shown you that when we say that, we actually do get revenge.
Yeah, some teams have it and some teams don't. Just like the Florida Panthers that won the Stanley Cup last night. You know, that was their third straight Stanley Cup. They're the Chiefs on ice. Chiefs went to three straight Super Bowls. The Panthers went to three straight Stanley Cups. They won two of those three. They lost one back-to-back. But it's the same situation. These organizations just expect to win. Mm-hmm. And you know, if they don't, the next year they're going to be right back there and doing it. That's what the Florida Panthers have done. That's what the Kansas City Chiefs have done. I mean, in the four major pro sports in this country, you have two of them consumed by teams that went to three straight championships. That doesn't happen by accident.
No, it really doesn't. You have to have your house in order, and the Chiefs do. And right now, it's just like finish out mini camp, take up a little bit of a break, get to training camp, and let's start this thing. And the revenge tour begins. And I'm excited about the revenge tour because I think it's going to be awesome, Jay. I think it's going to be one of the best seasons we've ever seen.
No, I'm with you. In the whole revenge tour, like, the Chiefs are the one team that can claim revenge tour. You know, I don't want to hear the Ravens talking about it. I don't want to hear the Bills talking about it. The Chiefs are the ones that did not play Chiefs football when it got to the Super Bowl. They're the ones that actually made it. So all these other teams talking about revenge tour and all that, that's fine, that's cute, and everything like that. The Chiefs are the only team that can claim that.
And the other thing, too, is Brett Veach might have done it again with the Josh Simmons pick at left tackle because it sounds like he might start from day one.
Well, you know, let's hope. I know by listening to his presser and everything, the Chiefs are going to take it slow with him. I mean, I don't know.
He's like,
I mean,
Cags?
you know, they're going to take it slow with him, and the training staff's working with him and stuff like that. I was listening to his press conference, and he kind of said, you know, it is a big jump. It's not as big as you think. And we had some guys at Ohio State, and it's like, man, the speed at the NFL is a much different level. But I don't know, man. I can't. There's no guarantee that he's going to be there on day one. There's a lot more talk about Jalen Moore and things like that. I even heard, you know, Ian Rapoport was on last night talking about maybe the possibility of a swing tackle situation for Josh Simmons. I don't know. We'll see what happens in camp. I just see them taking it slow with him when they get to St. Joe. Don't forget, Wanya Morris was that tackle before they slid Kingsley Sumatia in there for game one. But through OTAs and everything else, was Wanya Morris. We'll see how it goes with camp. Do I think that they could shelve him for a couple of days or maybe a week? I think so, because they don't want to run him, man. I mean, they're going to take their time with Josh Simmons. That's how I look at that. But they need him. It's the most crucial. You think about this offensive line, everybody thinks this offensive line is just – it was so bad last year. Well, they did boast two first-team All-Pros in Tooney and Creed Humphrey, and they had Trey Smith. They went to the Pro Bowls. That's three Pro Bowlers on that offensive line. It's just that glaring weakness at left tackle, and hopefully it's the answer.
Binkley, we appreciate it. Continue to babysit the hottest bachelor in Kansas City, Mr. Alex Gold, and we will see you in about 3 minutes here at the station.
He's in the parking lot, right? I'm going to tell you, that guy gets more people looking for him to find a date than anybody I've ever met in my entire life.
Hey, Bob, do you want to know a weird stat?
Yes.
Do you know that that's 31 straight Stanley Cups now that have been won by American teams?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God, that's crazy.
Like, a Canadian team has never won in Mac's lifetime.
Well, yeah, exactly. 31 years. It's insane.
I mean, they haven't won a Stanley Cup in Canada since I was in high school, Jay. Since you were sitting down in Pitt State drinking with my wife.
Yeah, 31 years, man. That's true. Yeah, I was at high school, Bob.
Did my wife drink a lot in college, Jay? Be honest.
I don't remember, man. I don't think so. I was just always so hammered. I don't remember anybody else drinking.
We'll leave on that positive note. Binkley, we'll see you soon, man. Take care.
See ya.
Did you expect anything less?
I didn't know what I was going to get from an answer.
I was hammered all the time. I don't really remember. Sometimes Jen was maybe like a Zima gal. That seems like prime Zima time.
I think back then it was probably like
Red Dog is what Binkley was drinking
red,
for sure.
Oh, there's no question he was drinking Red Dog back in the day. Hell, I drank Red Dog back in the day. Then they discontinued it for a good reason. It was awful. No, I think she was like, trash can punch type stuff, you know Everclear and grape juice and that kind of stuff. And, when you puke, it's grape all over the place.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Like that? You like Everclear and grape juice?
You don't taste the booze.
Baby.
Yeah. And you just have to pay $5 at the door and drink till you can't, man.
Dip your cup in where everybody else is dipping their cup in and drinking that stuff, man. Oh, yeah. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Back then, I didn't know what germs were.
That's true. We really didn't.
And you always say that one guy's like, oh, it doesn't matter. Alcohol kills all germs. All right. Do we even know what we're talking about?
No.
Nope.
Not a chance.
Kind of like that guy in New York saying the Royals ownership should sell. Who's dumber, that guy or guy who says alcohol kills all the germs?
No doubt. Coming up on the other side, we talk about this Royals hitting last night and the status of one coach or manager on the team. Up on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Hey, what yo up, man?
On your home for Kansas City Sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.